Okay, but those who are here, we just let's turn to Psalm 19, all right? We just start by singing, okay? Just to warm up. As we go along, I would like to actually start the Sunday school by just singing. I think it's, it warms up the person and get the lungs going and breathing. For those who can. Psalm 19, the law of the Lord. Okay, we're talking about the Bible. Psalm 19 and verse 7, verse 8 and verse 9. I think we all know, right? Then the chorus is actually in verse number 10. Okay, chorus in number 10. Verse 7 first, then the verse 10, verse 8, verse 10, verse 9, verse 10, then verse 11 as the last. Right? The Lord of the Lord. Let's start by singing, okay? Okay, ready? One, two, go. The Lord of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yet in much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Psalm 19 for those who came. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. More to be desired are they than gold, yet in much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yet in much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward, and in keeping of them there is great reward. It sounds like a duet between me and Tim. Never mind. Alright, well, I hope you all had a good week. We do need to pray. Many things have happened over the week, especially many people are sick. Okay, many people are sick. Titus, and then Brother Leong, then Sir Alina hurt her back, and who else? Lydia, who else is sick? And some family members are sick, and other kinds of spiritual sickness. But let's just pray and commit the entire church to the Lord as we begin. Alright, let's just pray and commit this time to the Lord. Our Father, we come before your holy presence today. We thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence to learn your word. We know, Lord, that it is a precious thing to be sitting at the feet of our Savior. And we pray if you learn some skills in being able to understand your word, Lord, we pray that you will teach us in a special way. Lord, we pray also most of all for many of our church people and church folks who are not feeling well. We pray for Titus, thank you, that he is recovering. We pray you continue to help him to recover, Lord. We pray also for Brother Tay Leong, that you will strengthen him as he takes the antibiotics and the medication. Help him, Lord, to be put back on his feet quickly so that he can get about his life activities, Lord, for you. Father, for the many people, as Alina hurt her back, Lord, on Tuesday, we pray that you help her to recover too, and also help her, Lord, to get back to a better condition. And Father, I'm sure there are other people whom I've missed, but yet, Father, at this time, I pray for Sister Anna, Lord, who is also sick. I pray that you continue to strengthen her body and strengthen her family, Lord, even. Help her to recover quickly, but she might be in the house of God. And so for the others who I've missed, I pray, Lord, that you know all things. We thank you, Lord. We are finite, but you are infinite. And we thank you that we can just lift these people into your hands. And that, Father, your Holy Spirit, Lord, will go to them right now and touch them in a special way. I pray for those who are spiritually sick, Lord. Those people who perhaps in their lives there are certain things which are hindering them, Father, from walking the life with you. I pray that you will also, as a great physician, spiritual healer, Lord, in our lives, that we will, you will bring them back to you in a special way too, Lord. Cause situations to happen that will bring them an awakening and awareness, Father, of the fact that you want them, Lord, to put you first so that you can bless them too. Thank you, Father, for this time. We pray as we review, Lord, how to study thy word. We ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes and our hearts. We might put these things into practice, Lord, that our lives will draw closer to you, that we might be of help to other people as well. We thank you, Lord. What are you going to do? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, can you hear me from behind? You know? Okay. All right, we will be beginning just to, I don't know whether you all have done any of the things, but I will just go through two passages so that we can actually just continue to review how we should be doing our quiet time, and then especially how we can apply this truth to our lives. Let's turn to we'll do the Wednesday one, Matthew chapter 9. What we're going to be doing today is we'll go through this one, then we'll be going through the topic how to actually study the Bible. Okay, then I'll be showing you the software I use. I think some of you do use it. Maybe for Mac, you use Mac Sort. And we won't be here comparing the differences, but the key thing is how to use a particular software to actually study the Bible and then actually see that it actually becomes richer and you understand the Bible in a better way. All right, Matthew chapter 9. Okay. I think we probably have read through this before. How many of you actually did some of these passages? Yeah? Matthew chapter 9. Never mind, we'll just go through them, all right? So, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. Okay. I'll read verse 35, you read verse 36, and so on until we finish at verse 38, all right? So that we have an overview ourselves before we go into the passage itself. Okay, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36.
Now when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they think they were scattered abroad, and sheep having no shepherd.
Verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse 38. Okay, so the first question we often ask is, well, who is speaking in this passage? Who is speaking in this passage? Okay, okay, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in the second half of the passage, but who is also the... Matthew, right? Matthew spoke in the passage, but you realize that in the second half, Jesus actually spoke in the passage, alright? So we identify... who is he speaking to? Who is speaking to? Jesus speaking to his... Speaking to his disciples, okay, the people that were there, okay. And he said, actually, the Bible just said he said. But we can assume that the disciples were there, and we can actually put ourselves in the audience as well, okay. Jesus is saying to us, alright. And of course, Matthew was speaking generally. Now, what is he saying? What is this passage about? So, you go into the interpretation of this passage. What is Jesus talking about? Here, what is the passage talking about? Anyone just shout out, whatever that comes. What is Matthew talking about here? Okay, I'll just start off. The first point, Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Okay, he went to different cities and villages. So you start thinking, cities and villages in Israel. What kind of cities and villages they have? What kind of transportation does he have to get to the cities and villages? Feet and donkeys, okay? Donkeys or horses or whatever he had. But generally, he has to move. But so he went to all the cities and villages. So what was he doing? Okay, he was preaching the gospel. What else? He's teaching in the synagogues. What else? And he was doing healing. Okay, so three things. Okay? And then after that, what happened? He saw the multitudes, right? He saw the people. What happened to him? See, he was moved with compassion. Okay, basically, I'm just going through the whole thing again. He was moved with compassion. Why was he moved with compassion? Because he saw that they fainted and was scattered abroad and they were sheep having no shepherd. These are three points, you know. Do you realize that? They fainted. They were sheep having no shepherd. And they were scattered abroad. These are 3 points within the passage that is happening to these people. Does it make sense? So we saw the multitudes. Firstly, his heart was moved because firstly he saw that they fainted. Then you have to think, what does fainted mean? What happens when you faint? You lose consciousness. Okay, the idea of fainting in the Bible, if you check the Bible dictionary, it means to be weary. You're very tired. And you realize, I'm very quick to make the application, but you realize when you even go hawker centers, you look at the aunties who clean the tables. Do you get a sense that they're very weary? And that's how Jesus felt. Okay? So this is what I dropped that there. Okay, then they were scattered abroad. In other words, they had no direction. And they were as sheep having no shepherd. What does that mean? They were lost, okay? Had sheep having no shepherd. What else? Do they have shepherds actually? Or are they supposed to have? The religious leaders. Just think about that. But Jesus said these are people who have no... Then you think, but actually they're the Pharisees, what? But the Lord of the harvest said, the Lord Jesus said, they're like sheep having no shepherd. So you as you put these things in your mind, it will start helping you to have more thoughts, alright? Okay, and then after that, what did he say? Okay, after he was moving compassion, what did he say? He said, the harvest is plenteous and laborers are few. Basically, I'm just going through it. But what does he mean by the harvest is plenteous? What's a harvest? Usually when you look at the passage, you don't go into the lessons first. Okay? So you must think, what is the harvest? Harvest is like a field, maybe ripe with corn or rice or barley. It's ready to be harvested. Then from there, when you have the Bible meaning, then you shift on to the lesson. Does it make sense? Okay, then you think of whole farming idea. So the harvest is plenteous. So what does it mean? So here is Jesus referring to physical food? Obviously not, right? He's referring to the multitudes. Because that's in the context already. So Jesus says, in the context, the harvest is plenteous. The word harvest has to do with what? Time to bring it in. Time to bring it in. Alright? So he said the harvest is plenteous. It means there are a lot of, now going to Uncle Roland, the law of souls to be reached. Souls to be brought in. Okay? But, what did he say? The laborers are few. Okay? And what did he say? In verse 8, pray ye therefore, Lord of harvest. Basically, I'm just going through the whole thing. But hopefully, it helps you to generate. When you actually study the Bible, like the harvest, just think of the harvest. What is a harvest? Ask yourself what questions, why questions, how questions. What is a harvest? Then with that, you actually will start thinking, okay, a harvest is this. So what does Jesus mean when he said it's a harvest? Alright? Okay. Any questions? Alright, now let's move on. What lessons do I learn from this passage already? So now that you understand, Jesus went about all cities, villages. He was teaching, preaching the gospel and healing every sickness. He saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion. So what lessons can we actually write down from this passage? Maybe we'll start from people decide first. The ladies' fellowship here. What lessons? Maybe just come up with a lesson that you learned from here. Yes? So, what lesson? Okay. Okay, so Agnes, she learned a lesson that I learned that when the Lord Jesus was busy and then he was compassionate, so if we stay where we are and not do the work, we won't get the compassion or we won't actually see the need, and therefore we be moved with compassion. Matthew chapter 9, looking at Matthew chapter 9. Okay, so that's one lesson. Any other lessons? Any other lessons, maybe from this side? Roland, any lesson?
Jesus showed an example for us.
Okay. there needs to be harvesting, okay? So, okay, started with one outreach, okay? So, okay, one lesson is we won't get compassion unless we are out doing the work, okay? Another one is we need to be busy doing the harvesting, okay? Alright? Any more?
In order for us to see my needs of people, the Lord, we have to go back first.
We have to go first, right?
We have to go first.
Okay.
Yeah. The burden, the people will grow once we are there.
Okay, the burden will grow. Okay, so these are lessons that we personally learn. Okay, and sometimes it can be I won't say it's a jump, but it's application. There are one interpretation, but many applications. So there's already three. And you know what? When you actually read the Bible, it's personal to you, and God speaks to you in that situation. Alright? Okay? So what I have was I learned that Lord Jesus was very busy doing the work of God. He went everywhere. I learned that business was, for him, specifically business was about teaching, preaching and healing. Now then I ask myself, we can't heal today, so what does it mean for us? What's the lesson for me today? What does it mean to heal today? For me, today. I can't obviously heal the way Jesus healed, so what does it mean for me? Sorry? Comforting others, okay, that's one way, healing. Okay, he has the idea of doing good works, okay? Because when you heal someone actually gets better. Right, doing good works, making it comfortable for someone else, just being there for them. These are little good works that we can do. Okay? Alright. Then he was moved with compassion when he saw the lostness of the people. And he did something about it. He asked the disciples to pray. These lessons we learned. So, okay, now go specifically now. What do I do to obey this passage? Okay, for those who have come up with the lesson, so what will you do with what you have learned? Okay, so. Okay. Okay, you're praying for more laborers to come. Okay. What will you yourself do? Okay, I will share the gospel. Okay, so Uncle Roland, what about yourself? How do you obey this passage, basically? Okay. So, what was Sister Agnes? What will you do with what you have learned? Okay. I have a few. I just kind of. Okay, remember in this, what do I do? Really personalize it to the point that it's actually something that you need to do. Like, for example, some of you say, oh, today I'm going to have to go and pay my bills. Today I have to go and pay my bills. So it's very specific. You have to go and do it. Okay? Generally, for Bible study, you find that generally people will stop at the lesson part. But then they don't actually go on to the last part. Okay? I have a few. Number one, just to give you some ideas. I will be busy serving the Lord in one area of ministry. So if I'm not in any area, so okay, I will identify one, I will do it. Okay? I will avail myself to teach in the VBS this year. Okay? So it's a specific thing. Then the next one is, because of the healing part, I say, I will aim to do one good work each day that will be a blessing to someone else. So that means I'll be actively looking out for opportunities. Okay? I will pray daily that God will give me more compassion for the lost. Okay? I will pray daily for God to send more people to serve Him. And I will go tracking this week. Reaching out. So I'll do it. Okay? So that's part and parcel of how we actually apply this verse. Of course, there are others. There's one more that is actually, you actually have to think a little bit more, which I've heard before in a message, whereby the harvest truly is plenteous. When you think about the harvest itself, remember, a harvest has a time span. If you don't actually reap it at a time that you're supposed to reap, what happens to the harvest? It actually dies. It actually dies. That means if we don't reach a person at a particular... Sometimes we think that we always have time. We don't have, you know. We don't have. And that's why everyone that comes into the church, the first time we need to pray, God help me to be able to reach these people with the gospel. These two little ones, okay? That means any new person that come, we have to assume. That's why one of the most important things is that when the person come, we actually have to pray, Lord, help me to reach this person, touch this person in some way that will help me to at least know whether he's safe or not. And if he's safe, then Lord, what's the next step I can do to help him? Yeah, I know, you didn't take. Yeah, okay? So, any questions? Okay, let's go to the next passage, Luke chapter 5, which is a Thursday passage. Luke chapter 8, just three verses. This is an interesting one. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, okay? We just kind of quickly do some, before we go into today's one. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. Okay, just feel free to just throw out ideas, alright? The idea is get us used to reading your Bibles, have certain passages that you go through. Okay, Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. I'll read the first one, you read the second, then we read together on the third, okay? Luke chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Verse 2. Verse 3 together. And Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Okay, just three simple verses. Alright, what is this passage? Okay, who's talking in this passage? Luke, okay, very obvious. Luke was narrating, okay, telling what happened. Luke, right? Alright, what was he saying? He was narrating what Jesus was doing. He went to every city and village, same thing as Matthew chapter 9, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of, and the 12 were with him. Okay, one of the things I'll talk about later on in the preliminary thoughts, you must actually be attentive to the details of the Bible. Okay, the 12 were with him. You can actually make a lesson there. Okay, for those people in ministry, you need to be training the next group of people. Does that make sense? And so you can actually, it's just 12 there, you must think, how is it linked? Jesus was doing the work, the 12 was with him. Now God may be speaking to a leader, a Christian leader, and say, okay, now I'm doing the work, but there's someone, these people are with him. Maybe God is speaking to me about trying to train the next group. Okay? Or I'm in the next group. Okay, maybe Jesus is doing that, I better be following what he's doing. That kind of thing. Alright, so in your quiet time when you read the Bible, don't miss out the details, alright? Okay, what else? In verse 2 and 3, what is this verse passage specifically talking about? It's very important for ladies. Brother Robert? Okay, the influences of the evil spirits, yeah, that's possible. Okay, it does talk about this women being healed of evil spirits, okay. What else? Okay, in addition to the 12. Okay. Interesting, in this passage, Luke actually talked about Mary Magdalene, about Joanna, about Susanna. This is where I got the name for Joanna from. Okay, these are the little things. So this passage is very. This passage is interesting for ladies. This passage is actually interesting for ladies. Okay, just okay. So what else? What else about this passage that Luke is talking about? There were women. Okay, I just say. There were women who have been saved and helped by the Lord Jesus and is now helping the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Okay? So what do you learn from this passage? Okay, firstly, the Lord Jesus was busy. Okay, that's pretty obvious. Okay, in every place, big and small. City and village. Okay, big and small. So Jesus was busy everywhere in big cities and small villages. Okay, in the Barakai and in the in a barangay, right? Barangay, Filipino. And in the big city. What's it called? City, you call? In Filipino, you call it? City. City, you call it? Huh? Buso. Longso. Longso. Okay. Alright. And so Jesus was busy in the small villages. And so we can make the lesson. Jesus was busy when in the small places. And he was busy in the big places. Alright. Okay. So what other things that you can learn from this passage? We're just going to Luke chapter 8. Alright. For those who just come in. What lesson do you learn from this passage? Is that Joyce? Or anyone? Or just lesson that comes to your mind? Okay. All right. Okay, he was busy. Sure. Okay. Okay. So that would be okay. So that's interesting, because Joyce mentioned we are also busy people, but then in terms of the priority, okay, Jesus. So which means that for her personally, maybe the lesson that she's learning, okay, I'm very busy, but I need to prioritize also about reaching the lost. And that's very important. When you write it down, you find that God actually shifts your mind towards the mind of Christ. Okay, which is actually very important. Amen. Okay, what I have is those who have been saved, my lesson I learned, those who have been saved and are helped by the gospel were now involved in the gospel work. Because you look at the passage, right? Certain women were healed of evil spirits, Mary Magdalene and wife of Chuza as well, they were saved and now they are actually involved in gospel work. Okay, and interestingly, the lesson I learned, the ladies were using what they have to serve God. Alright, because in verse 3, and Joanna, the wife of Chuzas, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. What does that mean? Whatever they have, their substance, they are using it to minister unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what is a very important lesson? Because whatever we have, we use to serve Christ. That's the whole idea. Okay? So what do I do to obey this passage? What do I do to obey this passage? Practical terms. What do I do practically to obey this term, this particular passage? Robert, you're always ready. Good, okay.
Be ready in time of doubt.
Be ready? Okay, be ready to help in times of need, okay. What else? Usually what I like to do is, for myself, I will actually always use the word I will. For myself, when I write down what I'm supposed to do, I'll say, I will. Whatever. I will means I decide to. I will. Okay, so the two things are, I will tell one person the gospel each week. Hopefully it's going to be more than that, but if you haven't never started, so at least tell the gospel to one person 1 week. Okay, so something definite that you will do. In other words, I will give a portion of my substance, finances each week to the ministry of the gospel. So you purpose in your heart. Okay, whether it's $20, $5, $1, whatever, I will purpose myself to give so that I can help the ministry. Then I will be obedient to this passage. Does it make sense? And then you pray that God help me to fulfill this. Does it make sense? Okay, so any questions there? Yes. Okay. 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 Okay, yeah. Okay. So that for brother and sister, it's a personal lesson that he's learned. Showing has to do, we do show and tell, right? We preach the gospel, we show our testimony as well. So together, so can you see that when you begin to even identify specific words, God can speak to you personally. Right? This is what we're sharing in the group. It's so that we can learn from one another. But you know, in your quiet time, do it regularly. It could be 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I can tell you it will change your life, because God is beginning to speak to your own heart. These are, when you come to the lessons, it's very personal because it's in your situation and God uses His word to minister to you in your quiet time. Does it make sense? Okay? Any other thoughts or comments? Alright, okay, let's go into if you have the notes today, I'll be doing, let's turn to Acts chapter 17, alright? Today is how to study the Bible, alright? We have about half an hour. Then we'll try to keep to it. If you really need to, you might go to. I'll just run through some preliminary thoughts, but two verses first. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Okay, there are some notes. Those who just come in, do you all have notes? Acts 17:11. The Bible says, I'll just read and then I'll just highlight some points from these two passages. It's very important. Okay, we don't just read the Bible, we need to study it. In Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God, the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Now, three principles here in this verse with regards to the word of God. All right, when you hear God's word, when you read God's word, number one, they welcome the word. In other words, when they come to church, when they are doing their quiet time, they approach the Bible and say, Lord, I'm waiting for you to speak to me. Their heart is all ready. The word readiness there has the idea of willingness to obey. In other words, you like a servant that goes to a master, okay, what do you want me to do? Okay, and the master will say, you do this, and the servant goes away and do it. Okay, with all readiness. Alright? Okay, so we need to welcome the word, and then we need to have a readiness of mind to obey it. Okay, that's important. And then the Bible says they search the scriptures daily. The idea of search means they diligently search the scriptures to see what was taught and what is written in the Bible was consistent with what was taught. In other words, when they go back from Sunday school or Sunday message, they just say, yeah, Pastor said this. They say, well, Pastor said this, let's see what the Bible has to say. Okay? Okay. Whether there's a battery leaking or not. Okay? So these people didn't just go to church. Alright? Even the Apostle Paul didn't escape their scrutiny, meaning that even the Apostle Paul come and preach, they're not going to say, oh, he's the Apostle, therefore we listen to him. No, they're going to go to the Bible and say, yeah, Apostle Paul said that, but what does the Bible say? Basically, that's what it means. Alright? Now, the second verse is 2 Timothy 2:15. We all know that study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? Three things, we are to study the word of God. The word study in the Greek has the idea of being diligent. We need to put in the effort. And the reason why people say that the translators actually use study, many people have said this is a wrong translation because the word study means to be diligent. Okay? But in the context of the verse, you realize the next part of the Greek verse said, rightly dividing the word of truth. So how are you going to divide the word of truth if you don't study? Alright, the idea. So study to show yourself approved unto God. In other words, be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we have to study the word of God for the purpose of being approved by God. That's the second part. We have to study God's word for the purpose of being approved by God. That's what Timothy says. So we're not studying the Bible because Pastor tells me to do so. We're studying the Bible because I want to be approved before God in my words, in my thoughts, in my actions, in my life, in my relationships, in my family, in my church, in my work. I want to be approved by God in every one of these things because one day I will stand before God. So I need to find out what He requires of me so that I can be approved before Him. Okay? So the next one is the evidence would be that I'm rightly dividing the word of truth. That means I'm rightly interpreting the Bible and using it in my life. Okay, rightly dividing the word of truth. These are the two main passages. Memorize it if you need to, because I think it's very important for us to always be reminded, okay, that as a Christian, the Bible ought to be central to our lives. Because it is the manual, it is the thing that will help us do right. Okay, some preliminary thoughts before we go into how to study the Bible. Alright? Stop me along the way, okay? If you have any questions and you don't agree, you throw an egg at me, but just stop me. Number one, the individual must have the right Bible. Okay, this is important because modern translations have many doctrinal errors. And the reason why is because they are translated from a different text. Okay, this is very important. When you talk to someone about translations, the goal is not to say, oh, see, that verse is missing or whatever. You go down to the root. And the root is that the King James is just translated from a different text, all the other versions. Okay? Now, some people say, oh, well, the New King James is okay. No, it's not. If you actually do a study, they claim, all right, they claim to be translated from the Textus Receptus as well. But what they have done is they're trying to kind of modernize some of the English words, like thou and thee, they use the word you. Now, the problem with that is, if you use the word ye, for example, ye, and thou, the word ye and the word thou are different meanings in the in its English also. Because thou is singular, ye is plural. So if you use the word you to say ye, and we wouldn't be able to dig out the treasure in the Bible. Does it make sense? So many of the modern translations actually claim, even in the New King James, is a lot of churches who are fundamental churches are moving towards New King James. The problem is that if you really look at the analysis of some of the things, I think I brought a booklet on the New King James. Basically, they are comparing verses. There are a lot of the King James verses which is actually being diluted by the New King James as well. Alright? Hell becomes death, for example. In the King James, it's hell, but in the New Translation, New King James, it's death. Very different. Although they claim that, oh, in the original, it's, but it's a very different in terms of even of the context. Alright, so we must have the right Bible. Okay? So remember, when you're sharing about the translations, don't talk about the translations. Tell them straight, it's a text problem. It's a textual problem. Alright? Just very quickly, for the first 1800 years, the accepted Bible was using the Textus Receptus, the received text. Okay? It's only after the 1800s, about 1851, the Chichendorf, this guy, came out and he wanted to recover the lost treasure of the Bible, that kind of thing. And he found it came out the Westcott and the Hort text. Alright? Apparently, in the 1881, when it actually came out, even Spurgeon was looking forward to a new text. And there was this big celebration. But you know what? They used a celebration not to celebrate the new text, is to say the old text is still better. Alright? And some people say there was not much discussion or debate about that text during that time. It's not true. In the first 10 to 20 years, people wrote strongly against the new text. But because Satan just kept pushing it, people just kept pushing it in the 1901 until the New American Standard came out. And it became the standard, and people began to snowball. And at the same time, globally, a lot of people were into this thing called German rationalism, whereby they try to explain everything using logic and science. Okay? And that's why Dewey came in 1930s. You know Dewey, the one we have the Dewey system for the library? He was a pure humanist. He didn't believe the Bible, and his goal was to remove God. And today, the whole American system has changed. All right, the whole world. There are still some isolated articles about the defense of the King James or the Textus Receptus, even during the early... And Spurgeon was involved in the fight as well, okay, during that time. But because after his death, after 1901 onwards, Bob Jones Sr., Bob Jones University preached very strongly about that as well. But over the years, you know what Satan does? Satan doesn't actually have to do anything. You know? He just put it there. He just put the thing there. You can talk about it. He's just there. The devil's strategy is just leave the thing there. That's why if you go into fast food, you just play. As for some of us, we play and go. Play, we will go into a fast food and we quickly go out because of the music. But you know what? Satan just keeps playing it day in, day out. So our young people that goes in to have McDonald's and all that kind of thing, over time they just get so used to it. And over time, Satan's strategy has never changed. I introduce something, I just put it there. The casino in Singapore has been around for, apparently there's, Satan has won. Even though Lee Kuan Yew said no at that time, but he said he has to move with the times. Satan has won. Like it or not. Alright, and so this is what we need to be careful of, okay? We need to have the right Bible. Next one is the individual must be saved. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God. The word receive means doesn't welcome, okay? So if you're not saved, you know, it's something with people, when you share the Bible with them, they don't want to hear the Bible. And that's very scary. You know why? The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God. If you come to church and say, see in the Bible again, we need to be careful. Because the Bible says a natural person, a person who is not saved, will not welcome the Word of God. There's another category of people. They are the backslider. The backslider will get very irritated with the Word of God. Because you're saved, you know you're saved, the Holy Spirit is convicting you. And so when a message comes through, it's like, I want to listen to that. I've had people, I've heard this particular girl who's not in church today, she says, I know if I go to church, God will speak to me. And that's why he's staying away from church. Say, why don't you just go back? You know? But you know what? That tells me he's safe. Because she still has the awareness, she's still aware of that. And you know, it's actually a sad thing that you don't want to hear from someone who loves you. Okay? So, a person must be safe. Okay, next one, the person must have faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Welcome back. Okay, keep that before it in. Okay. We must have faith, okay? Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay, without faith, what must we have faith? We must have faith that we have the Word of God. We have God's Word in our hands. We have God's Word in our hands. I was talking to someone yesterday, and one of the things they said, I used to read a lot of books. A lot of people read a lot of books. You know what's the problem with the books? Because of the books, they are led not to believe the Bible. They go into Calvinism, they go into all kinds of things because they read books. Books are helpful, but if books chase you away from the Bible, you better stop reading the books. Alright, there was a couple who came to our church one time, and they kept coming for a few weeks. There was one time that he was dead set against Calvinism. You know? But you know what? He liked John MacArthur. Have you heard of John MacArthur? And John MacArthur is an author, and he was reading. You know, John MacArthur has moved from saying, we are saved by the blood of Christ, to I was saved by the death of Christ. And you know what? I was talking to him about that, and I was sharing him Bible verse. I actually said something, I don't know whether you're offended, and I said, I think you better stop reading MacArthur and start reading the Bible. God, I can tell you, there are literally dozens of passages that tell you we are saved by the blood of Christ. 1 John chapter 1, the blood of Jesus Christ what cleanses us from all sin. Alright, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Hebrews 9:22. So, when the books we read drive us away, give us a thinking about a doctrine that is foreign to the scriptures, or what we have been taught, we better be careful. Okay? John MacArthur, John Piper, all these are supposed to be conservative authors. You know what I've done? They have moved a lot of group of people away from what is biblical truth. Okay? Does that make sense? We need to be careful there, okay? You must have faith that we have the Word of God. Number two, we must have faith that God loves us and He wants us to know Him through the Bible. God wants us to know Him. Alright? And He loves us. Don't be afraid to open your Bible, because basically your Bible is a love letter from God telling you what to do. Alright? Encouraging you through your life, okay? And we must have faith that the Holy Spirit will help us understand, especially in our quiet time when you're doing your own Bible study. Alright? The next one, the individual need to pay attention to details. Matthew 4 verse 4, what does it say, anyone? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Okay? Now, let me ask you a question. What is another reason why we need to pay attention to the details of the Bible? That every word that we read. Because? Huh? Okay, God says so, okay, but... Alright, God says so, but... okay. That's actually a good enough reason. But, generally the world doesn't take that anymore. So, what is another reason why we need to pay attention to every word of God? Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the word all scripture, the word scripture comes from graphe, meaning words. All, if every word is given by God, then we need to pay attention to every word. And by the way, God even put in the tenses for us to understand it a little bit more. Okay? That's why you go into grammar and all that, because God actually has a reason for putting, I believe all my heart, with the inspired word, God actually has a reason for putting a particular word in that particular place for a particular reason. And sometimes even for a particular time. I believe very much. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. I'll just show you this passage. For me, I'm very... when I look at that and having that in my mind. Acts chapter 2. Oh, hold on, hold on. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now, when was Acts written? Joshua, any idea? When was Acts written, book of Acts? Generally. When was X written? Okay, during the first century. Alright, first 100 years. Okay, it was written during that time. Okay, now notice in verse 6, Acts chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible says, "Now when this was noised about, the multitudes came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language." Now what is in his own language? What does it mean? It means he spoke in his own language. Right? It says what it means, it means what it says. Okay? Now, interestingly, what happened was the translators, when they translated it, those words, they are not in the original, they are actually put italics. So that it's clear for us. So you can see these words, is it in italics? It is not. So the assumption we can make is actually in the original Greek. Okay, now, why do you think God put that in? This is my belief. I believe God put that in for the charismatic movement today. Because they say that tongues is a heavenly language. The Bible said no. Does that make sense? That's my personal conviction about that. God, because whenever I speak to people, upon this passage, you see, in his own language. They were speaking in tongues in their own, but people understood in their own language. Does that make sense? Okay? So this is how I derive this kind of thinking. Alright, why? Because based on what is there, what does the Bible say? Another one I believe is in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Let's turn there. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Okay, I use this all the time, and I think you all know that there was a helper who was a JW who came to our church and was challenging the deity of Christ. I pointed her to this verse, and then after that, she just smiled. Okay, because they believe that Jesus Christ is not God. He's a created God, a lesser God. Okay, but God the Father is Jehovah. But what does Isaiah 9:6 say? "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." I will ask this question. I ask the person, the JW, who is this passage talking about? They will always say Jesus Christ. And then I ask the next question. What is his name? Then they'll go down the road. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the... They don't say anything. Because the Everlasting Father refers to Jehovah. So Jesus is Everlasting Father now. Why does Jesus have so many names? Or what does Jehovah God? So when I begin to ask that, there was one person, whenever I use this verse, they will change the subject. Because they cannot get past God's word. And I believe God put it in for the JWs. To help them to understand. I thank God, there was one particular teen whose mom was being visited, and the mom didn't know they were JWs. And when this mom was actually, rather the teen was, didn't want to tell, but over months he actually shared. And me and my wife went to visit. And when I shared this verse, mom was to the stage where she was cooking for them and like bringing fellowship with them. But when I pointed them to this verse, she stopped. Even in the Mandarin Bible, it's the same. Okay? And even in the JW Bible, they also have this verse. So I said, thank God she actually stopped meeting up with these people, and thank God she's back in her own church now. You know what? God's word can save us. You know, I think some of you may know some of, at least one or two of our Christian friends have gone over to the JWs, and they pursue them for 17 years. The JW doesn't stop, alright? So I just wanted to make sure we understand that, okay? Alright, we need to pay attention to the details. Okay, next one. The individual must have the right goals. We need to ask ourselves, why are we studying the Bible? Is it because Pastor said so? Is it because Pastor, I always hear preaching, I must study the Bible. Okay, I study the Bible. But what is your reason for studying the Bible? Okay, I'll give you three. Number one, to study the Bible to know Christ. You need to study the Bible to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's your Savior. He wants you to know Him. Okay? So in Luke chapter 10, verse 38-39, I'll just read. It's a time where, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, that a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word." Alright? So we need to be like Mary, sitting down at the feet of Christ, learning from Him. We can be very busy. Singaporeans are very busy. You know what we do when we start sitting down and listen? Usually for Singaporeans, That's the only time you get to rest. So you
when switch off.
Yeah, Singapore is always in that go mode, alright? And we need to learn to be still. Okay, number two, we are studying the Bible to know the Lord's will. To find out what God wants us to do in our life. Alright, that is Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, accepted unto God, the reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that perfect, what is that acceptable, and what is that good will of God. Alright, in that order. Alright, and the third one, very interesting, let's turn to Hebrews 5, to help others. Why are we studying the Word of God? To help others. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. This is a requirement for every Christian. It's not a requirement only for pastors or Sunday school teachers or even fathers in the house. Alright, because fathers have to teach. It's a requirement for every Christian. Okay? In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, "For when, for the time ye," notice the word ye, plural, you Christians, the Jews, "ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." Oracles refers to the scriptures. "And are become such as have meat, need of milk and of strong meat." Okay, there's a time that I know in some independent Baptist churches, they redo the ABCs of Christian growth for Sunday school again and again and again. That is not right. Okay, young believers need to be brought through. But then, you know, older believers need to have things like this whereby they go into the details, they work through themselves and they grow. Okay? It's important because we need to be helping someone. Verse 13, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who are by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Everyone in Ambassador Baptist Church, as a member, when you grow up in your Christian life, need to be teaching someone else. You need to be teaching someone else. Otherwise, God said you become a babe again. And you become unskillful in the Word. And the reason why I'm going through this is because I want everyone in Ambassador to be able to dig the Word yourself and then teach someone. The goals of Bible study, alright? The next one is, as you study the Bible, you must put God first, okay? Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Say, "Well, Lord, I know I'm very busy, Lord, but today, what is your will for me?" It could be that God doesn't want you to do what you want to do, you're supposed to do. Okay? But you need to seek God first. And then the next one, the individual must hunger and thirst for God's truth. Must hunger and thirst for God's truth. Job chapter 23, verse 12, Job says, "I've esteemed thy word more than my necessary food." Have you all eaten breakfast today? You have? Yeah? Have you read your Bible today? We need to esteem the word of God more than our necessary food, okay? Next one, the individual need to concentrate and meditate upon God's truth. Alright, don't just read it. I know the teenagers will read close. I saw a pastor's daughter. I need to be careful what I say. But many years ago, I actually stayed quite far away from my pastor who was in Australia, alright? And so usually I then suggested to him, he was very kind because every Sunday morning he would get up about 1 hour early just to come and fetch me to go to church, which is half an hour. But in Australia, half an hour is far. Not like Singapore, half an hour is like, the reason why it's far long is because of the traffic lights. Like every 10 meters there's one. Okay, but in Australia it's like, woo, it could be like for kilometers, and it's only half an hour, but it's very, very, very long, right? But you know what I suggested to him? Why don't on Saturday they have track thing? After that, I'll just stay at the pastor's place. I'll sleep in the hall. So they're okay with that. Then I saw the pastor's daughter doing their quiet time one time. And I realized it was only about 5-10 minutes. And I realized they were just reading the Bible. Read, pray, psh, close, go. And then nothing. You're just basically going through the motions. We need to be careful because the Bible says we need to concentrate. You know, you need a minimum 20-30 minutes to think through just a short passage. Thinking through, writing through. Because God wants us to meditate on God's Word. Okay? Meditate on God's Word. Joshua 1 verse 8. The next one, the individual needs to work hard. We need to dig, okay? You can refer to the passage. I'll just quickly go through. Needs to work hard because Bible study requires us to work. Just like students who put in effort to study their physics or their chemistry or whatever, we need to put in work to know what God says. Okay. Next one, the individual needs patience and persistence. I remember a time when in Matthew chapter 6, I was wondering, what does God mean? It was only a few days later, then I realized, I was thinking and thinking about it. Right? We need to persevere in the understanding of God's word. Many Christians have this thing, I don't understand God's word, so hard. So hard to understand, so I don't want to read the Bible anymore. That's not a reason, that's an excuse. Okay, you need to actually persevere towards that. Okay, an individual needs to be obedient to the word of God. Yes. Sorry? Zero number 10 is, let me see. I don't have this here. Psalm 119:18, is it? Because I don't have the... Wait, hang on. 10. That's 10. Someone needs patience. Needs prayer. Sorry, that's prayer. Oh, that means it's skip. Okay. Needs prayer. Sorry. I need to follow this because mine is slightly different from this. Okay. Needs prayer. Okay. We need to pray and ask God, open down my eyes that thou I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We need to pray, God, open my eyes to see what your word has for me today. Alright. Next one is, individual needs to be obedient to God's word. That's very important. If you don't practice, you will never learn. Alright, let's turn to John 7:17. This was one thing that my pastor taught me. I thought it was frivolous, but you know what? After a while, I realized this is what God wants us to do. This Hebrew wisdom, Bible wisdom, God's wisdom. John 7:17. In order to know God's word, you need to actually obey it. Then you will realize what God means. Okay, John 7:17. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, begin. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. Okay, notice the sequence. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine. That's why obedience is so important. If you say, Brother Johnny, I don't understand God's word, then go and practice it first. And you'll begin to understand more later. Okay? Alright, the next one. The individual needs to be confessing his sin. If you don't confess your sin, God cannot speak to someone who is keeping their sin. Just like a mom or dad will have difficulty communicating with a child if he keeps wanting to do wrong. Or maybe he has told a lie, you know he has told a lie, but he keeps saying, I didn't. This is the block. Does it make sense? It's very hard to talk to that person. Same way with God. Okay? The individual needs to be humble. Humble thyself under the mighty hand of God, that he may raise you up in due time. If some people say, I know all this already lah. You will find that even today, after I show you a little bit, probably we don't have time, but when you study the Bible and you have this, and we actually have this attitude whereby I don't need to, I just read, because we need to be humble to say, God, teach me. And God will. There's a lot of new things you can learn, alright? We need to be humble. Okay? The individual needs to be in a good church, okay? In 1 Timothy 3:15, Ephesians 4:11-12, because God actually provides the church to help, not to... God actually put teachers to teach the word, so that those who may not be able to understand, or maybe are a little bit slower in understanding of God's word, can actually have the sense of it. Does that make sense? Okay, teachers and the church have always been God's plan for the teaching of God's word. It goes back all the way to the Old Testament, all right? Whereby they are teaching, like Ezra was a scribe who taught God's word. Okay, but you know what Ezra did? He actually searched the word of God first, he obeyed it first, and then he taught it to Israel. Ezra 7:10. That's a very important, that's actually a Sunday school principle for every teacher. Okay? And needs to be in a good church, all right, that will teach. Okay, these are taken from Brother David Clark. Some rules of interpretation, I'll just go through it quickly. The literal sense of the scripture must rule, all right? Meaning that if the Bible says, if God says, for God so loved the world, it means for God so loved the world, nothing else. The Reformers, the Calvinists, they believe the Protestant doctrine, for God so loved the world doesn't mean world, it means the elect. In other words, those who are saved. You know, that is actually, that doesn't do the passage justice, because the word world comes from the word cosmos, whereas elect is electos. It's two different words in the Greek. So we cannot change the word. I spoke to a JW also. They say, oh, remember, the Bible says that, and for those who are not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay, what does the lake of fire mean? Huh? The lake of fire. It just means the lake of fire. It means a place that's burning with fire, alright? But you know what they say? No. It means it's the end. It's the end of all things. It's very hard because what they teach, you cannot listen to your pastors. The next time they actually tell you that, then you say, then you stop listening to your watchtower. Then I'll stop listening to my pastor. Because everything that the JW learned is from the watchtower. Does that make sense? The interpretation of Judge Russell or their leaders in the Jehovah's Witness movement. And they will read and study their works. And they claim that they are not listening to their leaders. They are. That's why they get the wrong interpretation. Does it make sense? Okay? But for us, you see, genuine truth actually need no teacher. God will show you that truth. Okay? But sometimes we may not understand. That's where God put in the teachers to help us. Okay? So the literal sense of the scripture must rule. When the plain sense makes sense, seek no other sense. Otherwise it becomes nonsense. Okay? Number two, allow the Bible to define its own figurative language. Okay? The Bible says the Lord Jesus is a Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Okay? What does it mean? The Lord Jesus Christ is a Lamb. That's a figurative language. Okay? And then you have to think, okay, what does Lamb mean in Israel? Alright, a lamb is a sacrifice. So Jesus is a sacrifice that takes away our sin. Does it make sense? Let the Bible determine figurative language, not archaeological sources and all that kind of thing. They can be helpful, but the Bible must interpret it. Okay? We need to read the context. Okay, let's turn to John 3:5. We need to read the context in order to understand the Bible. Some rules of Bible interpretation. Okay, John chapter 3 and verse 5. Okay, verse 5, okay? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Alright, there are many churches who say, see, you need to be baptized to be saved. But what, how will you tell this person? The point we're having is, we need to read the Bible in context. How do you show that it's not talking about baptism? Because the Bible says here, you need to be born of water, right? So that means you need to be baptized to be saved. Right? So how would you show? Read the context. Read the context. Okay, what does the context say? Okay, firstly, you know that the context is talking about salvation. We know that. Then you look down in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. What is it talking about? Sorry? Birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Okay? Because Nicodemus in verse 4, what was he talking about? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in the mother's womb? Does that make sense? And so when you put the context of Nicodemus, what he asked, and what Jesus said, that the born of flesh is flesh, you realize that the water, in the proper interpretation, you must be born physically first, which is the water in the proper interpretation will be the amniotic fluid. Born of the water, physically born. And then, you must be spiritually born again. And then you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Does that make sense? If you look at the context. Any questions? Very important, because you can just take one verse, and many people will believe. Because they are ignorant, they don't know, oh, okay, I need to be baptized, I just follow. No, in the context, it doesn't show that. Okay, it shows that you need to be born physically, then you're born spiritually, then you can enter into the kingdom of God. Alright? Any questions? Okay, just feel free to stop me, alright? Okay, very quickly, clear passages need to interpret the less clear. There are some passages say that you can lose your salvation. But upon closer examination, you realize they can't. Or you cannot lose your salvation. I think Pastor John Yates in the last semester went through a lot of passages about the fact that you cannot lose your salvation. Okay? So, the next one. Do you understand? Clear passages must interpret the less clear. Very important, especially for young believers. But this person say, Judas hanged himself. That means we can commit suicide. Because Judas hanged himself, ma. And some people will actually justify the fact that maybe they don't want to do that. They're going to do that. And they'll point to this verse. But you realize that when you try to explain to them, they don't listen. Why? Because their heart is set on doing something already. So you need to be very careful. In our own Bible interpretation, remember, if the Bible seems to say something else, always remember, God has the entire mind of the whole Bible. Okay? Whatever He says in Genesis is consistent. with revelation. Alright? Okay. The next one is compare scripture with scripture. Some of you have cross references and all that. That's very important. It helps you to understand more of what a particular passage is saying. Alright? Next one is parables do not the teaching of the Bible. The parables do not give the teaching of the Bible. They merely illustrate it. They illustrate the teaching of the Bible. Okay? The next point is revelation is progressive. Meaning, from Genesis, a lot of things are not unfolded. But you know what? As time goes by, you find that God gives you more information. So we need to actually search the Bible. One thing I learned from Dr. Ron Comfort, or I think some of you know, what is when you have a truth that you want to study, for example, you want to learn about, okay, dressing in the Bible, for example. What I have done is, this is what you do. You go from Genesis, and you have to comb through 1,189 chapters, and you look through every passage in the Bible that talks about dressing. That's why technology is good. Alright? You go through every passage that talks about dressing, and you find that God does have, in God's mind, there is a standard of dressing, which one of these days I'll preach on. And I can tell you, modern culture failed miserably. Okay? And some of us think, oh, those are very conservative. No, that's actually the Bible way of... I know the Malays will cover up everything, but that's actually ultra-conservative already. God's standard is here to the ankles. Alright? There's a defining one that goes just under the knee. Alright? That's in the book of Ezekiel. If you actually look through there, you realize that God actually has... you realize in the priest's material... God dictates. Do you realize in Exodus 20, those who are wearing skirts, the priests, cannot ascend the altar? Apparently, because if they ascend the altar with the skirts underneath, of course the priests don't wear skirts, alright, the robes, lest they be, the people can, well, look at areas you're not supposed to look at, okay? That's in Exodus 20. God actually has certain things, certain rules in the Bible. That's why you wear miniskirt. Or skirts above the knee. I'm sorry, but for ladies, you see ladies try to sometimes pull down. Why? Just cover it properly, you know? So, I just wanted to highlight that. If you read through the Bible, God does have. Music, God does have. You read through who made music, hairstyles, how we dress, even as men. You realize swimming trunks is nakedness to God, and it's a sin. Example, in ours, everyone in the swimming pool is sinning against God. Alright, if you go to Malaysia, you know how the Muslims swim? They cover up totally. Think about that. That's actually God's standard, you know? But he said, well then you take up the argument with God. Alright, so that's something that, when you study the Bible, you realize some people are weird, not because they are weird, because that's what the Bible says. Okay? I need to be careful now. Okay, next one. Study must be dispensational in nature. That simply means God deals with different people at different times in different manners. God deals with the Old Testament in the Old Testament way, follow the law, by New Testament under grace. Okay? Now, under grace doesn't mean we don't follow what God says. Some people say, oh, it's under grace, therefore we can do what we want. No, the Bible says that we need to follow the law of Christ. There's certain things we don't do because we love someone else. Alright? Okay. Wow. Any questions? I wanted to actually show you the Bible software. I think because of time, next week we'll just finish up, alright, the general approaches to Bible interpretation. And then after that, I will actually go through how to actually study the Bible. Alright? I think I've actually written it down there. You can go through if you want. I've give you a few passages. Next week we'll just do one passage, alright? I think we won't do two, just one passage. Alright, this will get us an idea. By next week, we should finish this Bible module. Alright, but we want to look at the studying of the Bible. Okay, so that every one of us will be able to study the Bible. Okay, if you want to bring your laptop next week, you're free to do so, but not necessarily. I actually had it set up, hoping to be used. Because of time, I think I won't go into it. But next week, we will actually do that. Alright, how to study the Bible step by step, so that at home, you just follow those steps, and over time, you probably get a hang of it. You can actually do it yourself as well. Okay, so any questions? Okay, as we close, just remember one thing. It is God's will that we know His Word. And if we, the more we spend time in God's Word, the more confident we are in life. Why? Because we know we are doing it God's way. Alright? And one of the things, in terms of learning the things in the Bible, if you have any issue in your mind, should a person smoke, for example? Should I go to the pub? Etc. Just read through. That's why you use technology. And what, sometimes when I, for example, boy-girl relationships, there's one time I was doing it. What I literally did was I went to chapter 1, Genesis to Revelation 22. I found out one thing. There's no such thing as dating in the Bible. There's no dating in the Bible. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, no, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, God actually put a clause to counteract the cultural influences of the Thessalonican church. Okay? And talking about defrauding one another. Okay? And you find that God actually speaks out against some of these issues. But you know what? So then we need to apply. I say, God, okay, you say that. So how do we apply, Lord, to this particular culture? Alright? That's for another time. Okay? But it's important to understand that even the whole area of whatever things in your life, God speaks. Okay? God does show us what we need and how we need to live our lives. Alright? Okay. Well, it's a word of prayer. Alright? If you have any questions, just feel free to ask me later. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. And I know that, Lord, I pray that we will grow as a church. Father, no longer do we want to stay in the area of just doing the basic doctrines of the faith. But God, we want to learn from you. And Father, I know by teaching the skill of digging into your word. Oh Lord, in the past, the people would just sit down and meditate upon your word for hours. And to allow you to speak to them. But God, as Singaporeans, we do admit, Lord, time sometimes is a, in fact, many times, Lord, is a premium for us. But God, I ask you to help us to have a revival in our hearts to say that if this is important, that I need to dig into God's Word, then I need to dig into God's Word. And I pray for every soul, Lord, everyone who is listening to this, that God, in their hearts, they will determine their hearts, Lord, I will spend time finding out what you have to say. Lord, if you are so loving a God, if you are such, you are so careful about teaching us in your Word, that God give us the desire to want to do it, to find out what you have to say. Oh Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Increase our faith. Help us to love you more. Help us to trust you more. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.